Good morning and happy Easter. I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Easter Sunday, April 4th. Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Easter Sunday story according to Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. You probably know that there are four different versions of the Easter story in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each tell their own version of the story. They each include it, but they put a little bit different spin on it. And as usual, each gospel writer emphasizes different aspects of the story. The most familiar version might be John's version, with Mary Magdalene finding the tomb empty, and she runs to tell Peter and another disciple that someone has taken Jesus' body and she doesn't know where they've put it. And as she stands outside the tomb crying, Jesus himself comes up to her, but she mistakes him for the gardener until he greets her by name. He calls Mary, and then she believes. John includes some beautiful details in his telling. Today, though, we've just heard Mark's account of the story, and I think that Mark's might be my favorite version. When Mark describes Mary Magdalene's visit to the tomb, he mentions two other women who go along with her, another Mary, this one the mother of James, and Salome. The women are going early in the morning to give their friend and teacher Jesus one last gift by properly anointing his body for burial. On Friday, 2 days earlier, when Jesus had died, these women had been there watching. The men had fled. Most of Jesus' followers had fled. But these women stayed there until the end. They followed all the way to the tomb. But the Sabbath was about to start, and there was no time to do anything but quickly lay his body in a tomb. Then they couldn't do anything on Saturday. That was the day of rest, the Sabbath. So Sunday morning is the first chance they get to take care of his body. So they go first thing early in the morning, and when they get there, the stone has been rolled away. Not only that, but there's also an angel sitting there in the tomb on the right side, robed in white. And Mark tells us they were alarmed. makes sense. This is not at all what they expected. They've spent the last 36 hours or so coming to terms with the idea that all their time with Jesus was for nothing. That this guy they thought would be the savior of the world, the Messiah, is dead and gone. And now that they're finally able to tend to his body, it's gone too. No wonder they're alarmed. The angel tells them, as angels usually do in the Bible, do not be alarmed, do not be afraid, which is easier said than done, right? Do not be alarmed. Jesus has been raised. He gives them some instructions. Go and tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead to Galilee like he told you he would, although you didn't understand then, but he told you this would happen, and you'll see him there. Mark doesn't mention any of those details, like chatting with Jesus in a garden. In fact, he doesn't even mention the women passing the message on to Peter and John and the rest of the disciples. Instead, Mark ends his story about Jesus with this fascinating line. They went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. That's the end of the gospel. What seems to have happened, though, is that as Mark's gospel was copied and passed around over the first few hundred years of the church, some people, some of the scribes copying it, felt that it needed a more satisfying ending. So if you look in your Bible at home, you'll find two alternate endings to Mark in most Bibles. And they're very different in tone from the rest of what Mark actually wrote, but they tie a nice little bow onto an odd ending. But Mark's cliffhanger ending is intentional. It's not a mistake. You know what a cliffhanger is, right? When the story ends in the middle. Like in one of my favorite Star Wars movies, Empire Strikes Back, at the end of the movie, one of the main characters has been captured, Han Solo's frozen in carbonite. It looks like the evil Empire has won. But the rebel heroes are working on a rescue mission. And then the credits roll. That's the end. One of Kristen and my favorite TV shows right now, This Is Us, ends almost every episode like that, with a cliffhanger of some sort. Some piece of new information that you didn't know, so you're ready to find out what happens next. And the point is to make you come back next week and watch more. The longer endings to Mark are not a director's cut or something like that. Mark knew what he was doing. It's intentional. He ends his story with a cliffhanger. The first witnesses to the resurrection are overcome by terror and amazement, and they don't say anything to anyone. And yet, obviously, they got over their fear at some point. Obviously, they did say something, because we have this story. With this cliffhanger, Mark is saying that the story of Jesus is not over. He's giving us a call to take up the story. We, God's people, the church, are living the sequel, the rest of the story. Pastor Jim Somerville tells a story about composer Franz Liszt. Apparently, his wife would get him up out of bed in the morning, every morning, by playing the first seven notes of a scale on the downstairs piano. So, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And then she'd go back down to the kitchen to finish breakfast. And poor Franz would be so overcome, so bothered by the missing final note to finish the scale, that he couldn't help himself. He'd have to get out of bed, stumble down the stairs, and play that last note. Do. There's something in all of us that craves resolution, completion, something that wants to put the final note on. That's what Mark's doing. He's telling the story of Easter with the ending left off, so that we can't help but tumble out of bed on Easter morning and finish it. You and I are called to look for the living Jesus and to tell others about him, to follow the angel's commands, to tell the others that he's been raised. Fear and amazement are understandable, even rational, but the truth is the tomb is empty, and that is really, really good news that absolutely must be told. Despite all expectations, despite every precedent in history, death was not the end of Jesus. Easter is God's announcement to the world that the story is not over. The message is entrusted to us. Death does not win. The tomb is empty. We get to proclaim the good news that crucifixion and oppressive human empires and violence do not win the day. Disease and loss and sickness and all the other junk that comes with life in a sinful, fallen world are temporary, not permanent. As Peter preaches in his sermon in Acts 10 from that first reading, we are witnesses to what God has done. Jesus was put to death, and that should have been the end. But God raised him on the third day. The resurrection proves that this Jesus fellow was not just some guy, not just some good moral teacher, not some hopeless optimist babbling about peace and love. He was and is God in the flesh, the one the prophets testified to, God with us. This is the good news of Easter. God is with us. God is with you. God has not been defeated. God has not given up. In Jesus, God has taken on the absolute worst that this world can offer: betrayal, abandonment, isolation, suffering, beating, crucifixion, all the way to death. And instead of throwing in the towel, instead of abandoning us to the consequences of our sin, instead of letting go of this broken world, this world that rejected him, Jesus has taken on death for us and defeated it. Life has defeated death. To celebrate Easter is to look at the brokenness of the world and dare to believe God is redeeming it. Easter is about looking at the violence and the abuse and the hunger and the greed and daring to hope that it might be made right. Easter is about looking at 5,700 deaths from COVID just in Iowa, 555,000 COVID deaths in our country, 2.8 million in the world, and daring to believe that God, who could roll back one very large gravestone, will one day empty all those graves and all the rest as well. Terror and amazement indeed, because Easter means God is doing something new. God is on the move. Jesus is out of the tomb. And to this good news, we are witnesses. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.